the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. John chapter 1. The story of Nathanael and the story of any of the converts, any of the disciples, any of the followers of the Lord is intriguing, as the Lord would select. And we might say, why was that one chosen? Why was that one selected? And what credentials did they have? What background did they possess? And so on. But I don't think it was any of those things, really. I think the Lord was just looking for people who would follow him. And Nathanael is one of them. But we're going to zero in on verse 50 of John chapter 1 and have the statement that the Lord spoke to Nathanael. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Praise God. And we know the gospel story. It unfolded exactly the way the Lord declared, and perhaps in even greater measures than Nathanael and Philip, Andrew, Simon, all of them. Far beyond what they thought was going to take place. And I know in our experience it has fulfilled, been fulfilled in that manner as well. Far beyond what we imagined or dreamed. And yet there's more. There's greater things because he is God of the greater. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Follow me. Imagine someone coming to you in your workplace, in your home, in your town, and stepping up to you with that simple command, follow me. What would your response be? Probably varied responses. And we can maybe identify a little bit with the individuals who had their reasons or their excuses to say, I bought oxen, I bought this, I married a wife, what, you know, all of the different things that they had said, because they couldn't sense the priority of what the Lord was trying to establish for them. But Philip heard Jesus say, follow me. And he immediately contacted Nathanael and told him of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, when he said Nazareth, that didn't quite strike a chord with Nathanael. In fact, questions arose in his mind. And Nathanael was a righteous man. He was a man described as having no guile. And he endeavored to do everything that he could according to the Mosaic law. And it no doubt was a struggle to match up with everything that was imparted there, but he did his best. And Nazareth was not a place that you would expect a Messiah to emerge. And so the question came out rather quickly. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, there's a lot of things in the kingdom of God that there's a wait and see. Or even better, come and see. Because we can experience it ourselves, and thank God that there can be proof that we have of ourselves in our experience with the Lord. So Philip and Nathanael went to Jesus, and the Lord greeted him with a compliment. An Israelite with no guile, no dishonesty, nothing that was going to cause him to move into the realm of falsehood or hyperbole or any of those aspects. And so Nathanael was puzzled as to how the Lord knew him. But the Lord would demonstrate his omniscience and tell him, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. And the circumstances there might have varied, but the fact remains that the Lord knew where he was, knew his name, knew his background, knew his standing in terms of the Mosaic law. And so Nathanael, in his wonder and amazement, would call him rabbi, would pronounce him the Son of God. would recognize him as the king of Israel. All of these terms, all of these phrases came pouring out of him when he understood who it was that was standing before him. But the Lord would let him know, you're believing because I said I saw you under the fig tree? You're believing on that proof, on that element, on that aspect of how I know who you are and where you were? You're going to see greater things. Now, what went through Nathanael's mind at that statement? What did he grab a hold of there? Was it something that in his awe he did not fully grasp, he did not completely understand? And if Nathanael was a disciple of John, several of the others were disciples of John, if Nathanael was a follower of John also, he would have heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Andrew heard John and went to get Simon. Simon came to Jesus. Jesus greeted him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas." And these initial encounters, these initial changes would set the stage for changes that were to come later on and the power of the Lord that would be revealed in these disciples. And thank God there's a pattern that was already established among the disciples. Andrew got Simon. Philip got Nathanael. I hope and pray that we're able to identify with that pattern as well, that I've got to get somebody. You've got to get somebody. It's not just us floating along here enjoying the blessings of the Lord and God poured on, God poured out, God give me more, but more in the sense of fill up these pews, fill up this building, build a bigger one, find another venue, and call the Bartletts up and tell them, get ready. We're going to use the campground. Praise God, and let the power of the Lord come forth. Those followers of John the Baptist that heard the Lord's report, you know, John dispatched two of his disciples. Go and ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And in that very hour, I like the way the Lord responded. I know in one gospel, he starts to say, go and tell John. But in another gospel, he turns aside and he starts to heal. He starts to minister. He starts to provide what those people need and the deliverance that was evident and powerful. Then he turned to those disciples and said, go and tell John. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Thank God that the Lord has the goods. Not something that is just false advertisement or hype or exaggeration. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to bring forth his power and his blessing. So greater, greater things. I wonder if Nathanael reminisced about that. I wonder if he replayed that conversation in his mind. I wonder if he turned to Philip and said, did you hear what he said? What do you think? What's he talking about? Greater things. But I'm thankful the Lord didn't leave them hanging just on that one particular verse. John 14:12, the Lord said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I'm thankful that believing on Jesus is not just endorsing a philosophical statement. It's not just pursuing ideas in a book and thinking that this sounds good, that sounds amazing, but understanding that there are greater things that are going to happen. A simple statement with profound implications that the Lord would provide for his followers. More than mere mental assent. More than simple acknowledgement of the Lord. More than understanding the promise of Messiah is being fulfilled and he's standing right in front of me. Thank God we can follow the Lord and be obedient to him day by day. Doing the works. It's something to talk about then. It's something to think about. It's something to contemplate. It's something to meditate. It's all of those things. But doing the works, that's where the Lord wants us to be. The works that I do shall he do also. Thank God that there is the doing that's going to happen. And I'm thankful that the word works was used 14 times in the book of John. And there were people who, you know, struggled with that. And James had to write his book about works and faith and set the record straight. You have faith and I have works. I'll show you my faith by my works and so on. Because faith becomes action. There's something you're going to do. There's greater works that are going to be accomplished. Praise God. I'm thankful for the evidence that was given to John. But the Lord was saying it's going to be greater than that. It's something about feeding the thousands from a few meager loaves and fishes. But there's something greater that's going to take place than that. He told Nicodemus about the new birth. And I'm thankful the greater works were that there was going to be multiplied. And there would be thousands that would have that experience. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord that can be revealed. 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000. Amazing that the work of the Lord was being fulfilled by those disciples who had been fearful and scared and running just weeks before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But thank God for greater works. Thank God for power within. Thank God for the witness of the Lord and exalting Him and lifting Him up. I'm thankful that we can be born into the kingdom. The Lord said, John is great. John is great. What did you go to see? Did you go to see someone who is arrayed in soft clothing and sitting in fabulous surroundings and so on? No, you went to see a prophet. But the least in the kingdom is greater. Oh, help us, God, to get a hold of that and to understand there's greater things that can be done. There's greater power that can be displayed. There's greater blessings that can be given. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord and the goodness of God. The Lord said, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. That's got to be our foundation. That's where we've got to remain. That's where we've got to continually establish our foundation and our building upon that word. And then to recognize the power of God is going to be displayed as we reach out to the Lord and desire to receive Him and His greater works and to see the hand of God manifest in a wonderful way. It's interesting that John and his teachings comes up four times in the book of Acts. Amazing that there would be that reference to what John did and the stand that he took on repentance. Repentance has got to be something that continues to be preached. As long as there's sin, as long as there's wrongdoing, as long as there's iniquity, repentance is going to be in fashion. Repentance is going to be in necessity. And thank God John stood for that very strongly. And I'm thankful that that's what we can step into as well and believe the power of the Lord to make a change. So John being referenced and even believers following John, clear back in Acts 19, how much time would have gone by from Acts chapter 2 to Acts 19? Sometimes when we read the book of Acts, it would seem like maybe a few weeks or maybe a few months, but it's years that have gone by from that time frame and what separated those two events. Thank God for the solid teaching of repentance. Thank God for the solid teaching of John the Baptist, because they were still following it. They were still believing it. They were still acknowledging it. Praise God. And when Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Not so much as heard. And so the Lord examined, it's supposed to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And if they haven't been born of the Spirit, maybe they haven't been born of the water either. So he asked them, unto what were you baptized? John's baptism. And then he pointed out, John said you should follow him that was to come after him. And when they heard that, thank the Lord, they obediently were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And oh my, the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them, because that's God's word. That's the power that the Lord brings forth as we stand upon His word and know the goodness of His blessing. And I'm thankful that that operates because of His love. God so loved the world that He gave. It wasn't just a plan, even though we know that is the Logos, the abiding word of the Lord, even though we know that's God's plan right from the beginning and how he was slain from the foundation of the world and we were chosen in him and all of those aspects that would be there that are timeless and amazing. And I'm thankful his love initiated it. His love brought it forth. His love came forth in an amazing way. And in John 15 and 13, he declared, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And I'm thankful that's exactly what he did. I'm thankful that he provided and gave himself for us. It's his blood that brought about the change. It wasn't the blood of bulls and goats and all of the sacrifices down through the centuries. It's amazing to read of Solomon dedicating the temple and the power of God coming into that place. And the priests couldn't even minister because the glory of God was in there. But oh, the sacrifices. Amazing. Amazing how much I was sacrificed in that period of time. But none of it did the work like the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God that the Lord has provided his blood for us. "My blood is shed for you," he said. "My body is given for you." And I'm thankful he willingly gave himself for our sins and for our redemption. Amen. He died for us so that we could live for him. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord to help us to move into that realm of living powerfully for him, living holy for him, walking on with him and knowing his blessing in our lives and reciprocating that love, returning that love to him as well. If we love him, we keep his commandments. If we love him, we do his will. If we love him, we walk in his spirit, and we know those are scriptural tenets that we stand upon today. And determine in our hearts, we're going to follow through on those aspects. It's not going to be something we just talk about or dream about or think about. We're going to make it a matter of prayer. We're going to make it a matter of fasting. We're going to desire, "God, I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. I want to work for you. I want to believe your promises and act upon them." And thank God, he fulfills his word as we reach out to him. Paul mentioned dying for a righteous or a good man might happen. It could possibly take place. But he pointed out, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There was no interest in him. There was no regard for him. There was no obedience. There was no following. There wasn't anything. In fact, we probably used his name in a profane manner and probably used it time and time again. But oh, I'm thankful the Lord overlooked all of those aspects and said, "I can save them. I can change them. I can make them different. I can deliver them." Praise God. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord to minister. And if he died for us so that there would be a reconciliation, I'm thankful that we can take a few minutes out of every day and pray in to his holy name. I'm thankful we can put aside an hour a week at least and teach a Bible study. I'm thankful that we can push back from the table every now and then and fast for the kingdom of God and for souls to be added. We can schedule it somehow. I'm going to witness to somebody today. I'm going to testify to somebody today. Praise God. And wait for the Lord to bring that person into your sphere of influence. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord to minister by his power and by his might. The Lord said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Thank God he fulfilled that plan and he stepped forward into glory. Now, we talked about love here and love being so vital because love never fails. Love is the greatest. And love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Love of the truth is very vital, very important, because it means salvation. Does that passage of Scripture indicate that if there isn't that love, there's danger of losing salvation? I've got to make sure The love of the truth is in my heart and in my being, within my soul. Without the love of the truth, I can be deceived. And that deception is running rampant today. It's running everywhere. And it can come and try to interfere in your walk with God. So there's got to be that love of the truth. Praise God. And I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to turn it aside. I'm going to walk on with it. Praise God. John wrote in his third letter, in the fourth verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When there's a love for the truth, there's going to be a walk in the truth. Praise God. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, no matter how ridiculed, no matter how mocked, I'm going to determine, I'm going to follow the Lord and walk in that truth. Praise God. John writes figuratively of little children. And I suppose because he is an apostle in his 90s at this point, the last remaining apostle of the original ones, nine times he makes mention of little children, children in the gospel. And thank God that there is that aspect of having a childlike faith and walking on to the Lord and believing his word and then reaching out to others, praise God, and bringing them along. And understanding that the Lord would have his power and his blessing displayed in our lives. I'm thankful that he said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm thankful we serve a God of the greater. He moves us into that realm of power and deliverance. He displays his goodness and his strength in our lives, and I'm thankful for the power of the Lord to lift us up and to strengthen us against the principalities and powers that are arrayed against us, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. Greater is he that is in you. Praise God. The devil would like to intimidate. He'd like to paint you into a corner, as it were. He would like to back you up and try to make you renounce what you have declared to be the truth in your life. But thank God, greater is he that is in you. I'm thankful we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7 is such a wonderful passage. And it's one that I've got to hold on to and know that there is that power that dwells within us. We are the earthen vessels. We are the ones who may not have a whole lot of worth in terms of what this world would consider valuable and consider important and consider popular and all of those aspects that Hollywood might lift up, or Madison Avenue, or whatever sphere of influence you might mention. And I'm thankful we can know the power of God and be lifted up in him and be strengthened in him. And sometimes I know we might feel, well, if that's true, if he's a God of the greater, why isn't it happening? Why do I struggle with prayer? Why do I have these times and these situations? Take a look back at Gideon. Things weren't going so well for him. The victory in the valley was a long ways away. And the more things progressed in terms of preparation for that battle, the less and less and far less it looked like there was going to be success. But the message was loud and clear. I don't want Israel to say they delivered themselves by their own hands. So send the thousands home. And only 300 remained. Now that would add up to a suicide mission. That would seem that they would step forth with their lamps and their shout, and that would be about the last breath they would take. That's it. It's over. But that's not the way it worked out, because God is greater. When Gideon, perhaps let some of that glory come on his way, things began to deteriorate. No, I've got to let him be greater. I've got to make sure he's the one who is greater. Amen. And not try to make the acclaim for myself. No, I want him to receive the glory. Thank God. because it is his power and the excellency of the power that's of God and not of us. I'm thankful for the greater than power that was experienced with the lame man healed as the disciples went to the temple at the hour of prayer. The authorities detained the disciples. They were grieved that they taught the resurrection. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the negative attitudes. And they lifted up the name of Jesus Christ. They said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the healed man stood with them. I like to think he was their tail wherever they went. Big smile on his face and a recognition that his legs were working. Had never worked in his life. 4 decades he had lived on this earth and had never taken a step. But now he's taken hundreds of them. He probably didn't even bother to count them. He's just thrilled. He's jumping. He's skipping. He's hopping up and down. He's showing people his legs. He sticks one out and shakes it, puts it down, sticks the other one out and shakes it. Praise God. He's thrilled with it. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be excited? Amen. Just like that young man who was born blind. I don't know, but this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. They were trying to talk him out of it. They were trying to make Jesus seem like the villain. But thank God he stood his ground and said, I know what happened to me. And it's never been seen in all of the earth that a man born blind was able to see. But Jesus made it happen. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know we can lift up the name of Jesus Christ and know the power of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. And there are those that took knowledge of those disciples that they had been with Jesus. Their original assessment was they're unlearned. They're ignorant. We shouldn't really have to pay attention to them. But what they were paying attention to was the miracle standing right in front of them. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the greater of what the Lord is able to do. They were commanded not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for the power of God that kept them going. They were threatened even further with the things that would come against them. But I'm thankful they held on to what they knew to be right. They went to a place of prayer. They prayed for boldness to speak the word of the Lord. The place was shaken. The Spirit filled them again, and greater power came upon them to bear witness of the resurrection. I'm thankful the Lord loves to answer that prayer. I'm thankful the Lord is able to bring forth his power because he is God of the greater, and we can reach out to him for even more. Praise God. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord and the great power that came, the great grace that came upon them all, because God is God of the greater. Amen. Oh, what blessings from the Lord. The opposition seemed to increase. The persecution got worse. Stephen was stoned to death. A man named Saul held the coats of those who cast the stone to crush the life out of him. But on that Damascus road, praise God, there was a conversion. There was a bright light. There was a repentance. There was straight street that he ended up on. Praise God. And then Ananias had a vision. Never hear of Ananias before this. And I don't think we hear of him after, do we? I don't think so. This is his time for the light to shine. He's praying and he has a vision. And the Lord tells him, Saul of Tarsus is seeing a vision of a man named Ananias. Oh, you talk about confirmation. You talk about the Lord working on both ends. He's not just working on your end. Or sometimes we feel like he's not even working on our end. But he's working on both. Yes, he is. Praise God. He's seen a man named Ananias come and pray for him. Oh, Lord, are you sure? That Saul of Tarsus guy is mean. He's got authority to lock us up. He doesn't like followers who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't like us tongue talkers. He doesn't like anything about us. Are you sure you want me to go and pray for him? Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord is able to work on both sides of the prayer need. And the Lord assured Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. I'm thankful for the fulfillment. What happened when Ananias went and prayed for him? Just like what the Lord said. Praise God. The scales fell from his eyes. The Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away his sins. Thank God for the power of the Lord. And then he became such a powerful dynamo for the kingdom of God. Penning almost half of the New Testament, preaching on three continents, the power of God being displayed in such an amazing way, and the Lord delivering him so that Paul would say, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Is he speaking figuratively? Is he speaking of some situation that it seemed like a lion was about to devour him? It seemed like the situation was so bad, there was going to be no way to redeem it. It was so drastic. It was so filled with catastrophe. It looked like it was going to come apart completely. We don't know exactly what the situation was. But even if it's figurative or if it's real, I'm thankful the deliverance came. The power of God was displayed. The blessings of the Lord were there. And Paul would declare, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. That's confidence, friend. That's the power of the Lord that can be displayed. Praise God. And he would write in 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, he delivered us from so great a death, and now doth deliver us, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. I'm thankful it's past, present, and future, and we recognize the hand of the Lord continues to deliver. It's not a one-and-done situation. It's not a situation that can only come in drastic times. But the Lord is there because he taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. And I'm thankful that deliverance is there. Praise God. I'm thankful deliverance from the power of darkness is what the Lord tells us happens in Colossians 1 and 13. I'm thankful that I can remember that power of darkness, but also remember the deliverance of the Lord and move into the realm of his power, his light, his strength, his goodness, his blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God that we know the strength that he has for us. Amen. Now, there was a writer who made this amazing statement that good is the enemy of greater. You're satisfied with good, you're never going to step into greater. Satisfied with that level that's good enough, you're never going to excel and move into the realm of greater. It's easy to become satisfied with good and not reach for the greater. But God is saying, I've got greater things for you. I've got greater things for you. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can ask for the improbable, expect the impossible, receive the unthinkable, and know that God is leading us to greater things. Amen. Now, Nathanael and those disciples saw amazing things, the miracles, the resurrections, and then the Lord's resurrection, and then the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it just got greater and greater and greater. Praise God. But so did the opposition. So did the persecution. So did they step back and say, well, need to find some balance here. I don't think I can make it through all the trouble. I don't think I can survive all of the problems. I don't think I can, you know, in all of those aspects where our thinking gets in the way of what God wants us to experience as we find greater works that he desires for us to do. Amen. And I'm thankful that the word of the Lord is powerful to do a work through you. Amen. So, when you teach a Bible study, it's not your word that's got to be verified. It's not your word that's got to be fulfilled. You're teaching the word of God. I hope you're teaching the word of God. That needs to be what you're doing. Amen. And you don't need to be fearful that Yeah, it's not going to work. You know it works. You don't need to be, you know, crossing your fingers, crossing your eyes, everything, hoping somehow or another, I hope it works. No, God's going to fulfill His word. It's going to happen. Praise God. And you can step forth with confidence, being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to continue. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going. Praise God. And Philippians 1 and 6 is one that you can hold on to and know the blessings of God will be there to be fulfilled. Amen. So reach out. Share your testimony. Give your witness. Praise God. There's got to be revival. I like the statement that somebody said, if we have revival, nothing else matters. Praise God. It's all going to be taken care of. It's all going to work out. The hand of God is going to be displayed. If we don't have revival, nothing else matters. That's what it comes down to. And I'm thankful that the God of the greater is saying, come on. You've seen some wonderful things. I've showed you my power time and time again. But there's more that you can experience. There's more that you can have. Amen. And there's more that you could do. Oh, Brother Hernandez did this. Brother Hernandez did that. He's gone. Your turn. Amen. Amen. You know, take a study sometime and see the us in the Word of God. Us. And it's easy to look at the disciples. It's easy to look at the pioneers. We were talking about, what's the evangelist's name? Sister Willie Johnson, I think was her name. Incredible, incredible work. Brother Billy Cole, all of the different ones, they're gone. What about us? Amen. Amen. Is it all past? Is it all gone? Is it all done? Oh, no. Oh, no. Amen. And thank God I can step into the harvest and see souls brought into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because His word works. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that we have the legacies that we're able to look back at and know the power of God moved and worked in such wonderful ways. And we remember their words and remember their ministries and know God moved in such a tremendous way. But God's not done. He's not done. Praise God. There's still a work to be done. And there's still greater things that the Lord wants to show us. Could you stand with me now, please? The God of the greater. You know, the English language is kind of strange. When I say greater, the cook would think of something to slice with. The road worker would think of a big piece of machinery. My hat's off to people who are bilingual or English is their second language because it's tough. It's hard. And they work diligently through it all. Amen. But when we understand that God can do greater things, praise God, and He can use you. I don't know if Nathaniel, you know, thought, I'm a young man, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm holding on to what Moses taught and what the rabbis have taught, what I've heard in synagogue. I am doing the best I can. And it feels like I'm barely making it. And then the Lord said, and then the greater things. Wow. Praise God. I just feel like the Lord is challenging us tonight. Just saying, come on. I want to show you what I can do. I'm going to show you how I can use you. I'm going to show you what I can fulfill in your life. Praise God. Can you come and pray here for a few minutes tonight?